Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, everyone. Have you been to the Organic Gardener Podcast website and signed up for our email list? If you go there, you will get my new PDF, 7 Awesome Ways to Find More Time in Your Garden. And it's just some tips that I've learned from listening to my amazing guests who are always sharing with us super effective ways to be a better gardener. So if you head over to the organicgardenerpodcast.com and enter your email, you'll get 7 awesome ways to find more time in your garden. You can also get a copy of our ebook of Organic Gardening Basics. And just all the show notes are there, all the links to our show. So, and I'll be sending out some Golden Seeds newsletters as I get them done. And of course, you'll get a special invitation to join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook community. Hope to see you there. Welcome to episode 169 of the Organic Gardener Podcast. And today I'm excited because I have 2 guests here from a place called Flathead Farm Works in Kalispell, Montana. So very close to me. And they're here to share their story about their organic farm that they have down there. So welcome to the show, April and Kurt.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jackie.
And So do you want to tell us just a little bit about yourselves and what you, it says on your your Facebook page that you grow vegetables, herbs, and flowers using organic methods and making the most of the Northwest Montana climate, which my listeners have heard quite a bit about, and that you believe in fresh local ingredients result in delicious food. So do you want to tell us a little more about your farm and what's going on down there?
Yeah, so neither of us are from Northwest Montana, but we both ended up here. We really like the area, and we both really like to garden. We were just doing it for fun. And we also really like to cook. Kurt worked in restaurants over the years, so we thought we would turn that into a little side business and really focus on the importance of fresh ingredients and local ingredients. And it's really cool how people around this area are so into that lately. It's becoming something that's more important to a lot of people. So we're excited that we can be. We're right in downtown Kalispell. We have just a city lot, a big city lot. But it's cool to be kind of in the middle of that trend.
Yeah, local fresh food movement sort of thing.
And Kurt is. He's a landscape architect, so he can tell you about how that influences gardening for him.
Okay. Yeah. A landscape architect? Is that what you, sorry, it was kind of hard to hear there.
Yes. I am my office here in Kalispell. And so gardening and landscape architecture and design kind of have always went hand in hand for me.
Nice. I like that. So I do kind of always start out the show asking about your very first gardening experience. You know, were you a kid? Were you an adult? Who were you with? What'd you grow? And you were saying that you're not from, neither one of you is from Northwest Kalispell. So where did you guys like grow up and what was your first gardening experiences?
I grew up in Fraser, Michigan, which is a suburb north of Detroit. My parents, growing up, they had a garden, and my dad was a big do-it-himselfer, so he always had lots of projects in the yard, and so just helping them around the yard and garden kind of inspired me, I think, later in life to follow that same path.
Okay, and how about you, April?
I grew up in eastern Washington, mostly, and when I was really small, we lived way up north. Almost by the Canadian border. And we had a garden, a big garden and an orchard, and my parents tried to do this back to the land thing for a while, which was kind of hard. But I was helping in the garden from when I was like 2 or 3. And I think my very first chore was weeding the carrots because I had, you know, tiny little hands and apparently lots of patience, and I could just get in there and weed the carrots for a long time.
Nice. Well, my listeners know I talk about carrots a lot because to me, I hate the little seeds. They're just so tiny and it's frustrating. And I did go to a seed fair last year where they made this really cool seed tape that I'm going to try this year, where you took like a piece of newspaper and they made like a little flower water and they would glue the seeds onto the newspaper and then you just buried the newspaper and that kind of helped set them out. So I was thinking I was going to try that. And the other thing I'm going to try to do is like maybe mix some radishes in, but I usually let my husband handle most of the carrots anyway. But yeah. And then my solution's always been just get the grandkids to do it. So you were probably maybe somebody's grandchild doing that back then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So then is that how you learned how to garden organically, from your families or?
Basically. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it was self-taught for me.
And we were talking earlier, we were just talking about like organic gardening and how we got into that, and just kind of joking how, you know, back then with our parents gardening, there wasn't really another option. Like, that's just how you garden. Right. that was what you do. And, you know, maybe they were buying pesticides would be too expensive, or they didn't have access to those things, and just the old fashioned way.
Nice. I like that. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit, like, I've seen the pictures of your place on Facebook and it looks so sweet, but tell listeners like a little bit about what your setup is. You know, how big is it? How much, you know, are you growing?
Our lot is a half acre, and originally it started out pretty much all lawn in the backyard, and over the last, 3 years now? Mm-hmm. We started by clearing out a big chunk in the middle, maybe 42 by 40, I think it was, and converted that into a garden. And the next year we pour out a little bit more.
And then last year we tore out, or we cleared a spot for a greenhouse, and we added a chicken coop and cleared some more spots for flowers. So
yeah,
probably what, a third of our half acre is growing space.
I think it works out to around, let's say, 4,000 or 4,500 square feet of growing space. So not real, but
yeah, for being your house is there? You're just living in a house with a lot that you're doing this out of, right in the middle of Kalispell, or is it like an office and then you live somewhere else?
Well, actually,
it's all one place.
All the above. I have my design practice that I work out of the house, and then, you know, the farm is in the backyard. I hesitate to call it a farm. It's pretty small. But,
the mini farm.
Mini farm.
That's what I call our place.
Micro farm.
Yeah, we even have an area we kind of jokingly call the back 40, which is kind of the yard.
All right. So do you want to tell us about something that grew well this year?
Yeah, tomatoes and cucumbers. It seemed like for everybody else this year, they were kind of tough. But with the greenhouse, I built a 32 by 14 foot wide high tunnel, you know, hoop house type structure. And with about the half of that full of tomatoes and cucumbers, so that that really produced quite a bit of
and no. The difference, like last year, 2015, it got really hot really quickly and we had ripe tomatoes like at the end of June, and this year the tomatoes we had outside the greenhouse were like crap. I mean, they took forever. I mean, they were slow and took forever to ripen, but the greenhouse made such a huge difference.
Now, are you guys selling produce like at the farmer's market or at grocery stores or to a CSA? Like, how's your system working?
We decided to take the approach of selling mainly to restaurants. Local businesses that want like a flower share. We don't really have time to administer the farmers markets and the CSAs, and mm-hmm. don't have enough product either. So.
Right. Yeah. Since we both have, you know, Kurt has his business, and then I have a full time job. We just have to keep it as simple as we can.
Yeah. We supply one local restaurant predominantly, and that is here in California, and a little bit of market grill here and there. But yeah, they take pretty much everything we have to offer, they buy more or less.
Okay, so can I dig a little deeper here? Because I love this business model and just that you guys are starting out. And like, so how did you find that one restaurant? Did you just like luck out? Did you know somebody there? Did you call a bunch and that one restaurant worked? And how did that connection come through?
Well, it's funny that you asked that, because it's Bally's is where April and I had our first lunch date.
Our very first day.
Aww.
And that's
so funny, because I usually ask, like, how did you meet? The two questions I always ask most couples is, how did you guys meet, and what's your favorite thing to have for dinner?
We'll have to answer the other question later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's see. So then after we got married, I decided start my landscape architecture practice. And first, as with most businesses, you know, income is a little thin.
Okay, Kurt, wait, can I just stop you for a sec? Because I just, do you think if I called you guys on the home phone, we would have better sound? Because you were clear, but like you guys keep going in and out. Can I try calling you? Like, do you have two phones that would go to this that you could talk on? Or are you guys on cell phones?
Oh, two separate phones at the same time, you mean?
Well, like if it was like, I don't know. You know how people used to have two phones in a house with a landline?
We don't have a landline at all.
Yeah, you're on cell phones.
What if I be sure to speak directly to the microphone?
All right. We'll just keep going with it. I'll see what I can do. It's just some words are getting dropped here and there.
She calls on her cell phone.
Oh, I don't know. Is it recordable if you just call the phone?
Yeah.
Without using.
Yep. Should I try that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can.
All right. Sorry to interrupt. Okay, so you were talking about your first date, and you decided to do your landscaping business. And that's where I get cut off.
So when I first started my design business, I just needed some extra money on the side. So I stopped at Benelli's and just, you know, picked up a few shifts a week. And then I became friends with the owner, Jeff. And just, you know, through working there and, you know, learning his appreciation for good fresh food, I started selling our surplus produce. The first summer that we had, you know, the garden in full swing. So, and then it just kind of evolved from that, selling more and more produce to him. And this past summer in 2016 was really the first big year of, you know, full season of selling farm.
Okay. And so you said you started working there and doing shifts like waiting tables or cooking or? Okay. Oh, cooking. Okay.
Not a lot, so. Just a little extra money on the side, and Jeff turned out to be a great guy, and buys a lot of our produce. So.
All right. So if, like, somebody was going to try to connect with a restaurant, like, are there any tips that you would give them? Like, definitely say this, definitely don't say this, or, you know, this is what they're looking for? Or...
So I think for us, you know, we're not real big, so I don't like to overpromise. That's why, you know, we'll just sell it to Jeff.
And
enough, you know, not to overcommit, you know, and farming is unpredictable. So, I really push the flex, you know, just making sure the is very fresh when I get it.
How does that work? Like, do you say, like, we're going to have, like, 5 pounds of potatoes next week and then some tomatoes and some lettuce, or like he requests something, or like do you kind of like, how does he know what he's gonna make for his, you know, how his restaurant, like how he knows what he needs to order from the regular market based on what you're gonna provide? Like, do you know what I'm saying?
That's a good question. Yeah, and that's the hardest thing about having such a small operation is
but I think this is going to be encouraging to people who are just starting out, that being a small operation, just finding one restaurant instead of like feeling overwhelmed, like that's a good way to start out in your first year.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really takes finding a chef that doesn't mind the, you know, unpredictability and having to order stuff, you know, after you bring in what you have and, you know, going into the order sheet and modifying things. And, you know, some chefs I've spoken to, if they have too many purveyors they buy through, they don't have the time to
right.
You know, work with the unpredictability and the, oh, I have this, but I don't have this. And that's my experience.
Okay. How about, is there something you're excited to do different next year, or that you guys are going to try new this year coming up?
Yeah.
So we also grow flowers, and that was kind of a new thing this year. We've done, you know, the vegetable gardens, but thought we would try growing some cut flowers to sell. So that was, I mean, most of it was a pretty new experiment, trying all kinds of different things. One thing that we definitely would not do again. At least not in the same way, as we put some dahlias in the greenhouse and just kind of learned, like, for the space that we have and the quantity we're able to grow, it just wasn't all that efficient. And we had some problems with pests there. We had earwigs, and I guess it was kind of an earwig year for everybody. But we also had some powdery mildew, and those things, it seems like in the greenhouse, harder to control or get in hand, because things can kind of happen quickly.
Yeah.
So we kind of know some things now that we need to prepare better for, or try to prevent before they happen.
So what are some things you can do to prevent before it happens that you learned?
Well, for the earwigs, for instance, I learned later in the season, you know, I didn't really realize dahlia was so prone to damage by them. And I learned that you can do, like, put down some natural pest control early on when they're very small, rather than once you actually see them later, once they've started to do damage, it's hard to get a handle on it then because there's so many of them. And you can also do traps and try to, you know, get the live ones once they're there. But, you know, the old saying, I guess, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cures.
Okay. Before we get to the root of things, we're going to thank our sponsors and affiliate links. Organifi Green Juice is a gently dried superfood mix that supports health, mental clarity, while detoxifying your body, all in one delicious drink. What I love about Organifi, it makes me feel great. It's easy. It doesn't take much time. It's full of nutrients and superfoods that I have a hard time getting anywhere else, and it just tastes delicious. Now, as a teacher, you all know that our time is totally limited. I have kids in my classroom from 7:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. So just even using this simple thing can be difficult for me, but I can pull it off and so can you. If you want to feel good and get all your greens in a simple, easy drink, remember, you can get a discount as an Organic Gardener podcast listener by entering code OGP16, and Organifi will give you a 15% discount now. So just go to Organifi.com, and when you go to checkout, enter code OGP16, and they'll give you 15% off your order anytime. Did you know that you could support the Organic Gardener podcast without doing anything differently? If you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, since I'm an Amazon affiliate, if you go to Amazon through a link on my page, which every book that is listed on my website is linked to Amazon.com, you don't have to buy that book, but anything you buy that day from Amazon will give me a very, very small commission. But I got to tell you, it would sure help pay for, you know, just some of the basics it costs to keep the podcast up there. And now let's get to the root of things. So how about, what would be your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Like, is there something you guys have to get out there and force yourselves to do?
Oh, well, there's always weeding. That's never fun.
but that's a funny one, because that was the first thing, you know, Kurt thought of. Oh, what do I least like to do? Weeding. But I actually kind of enjoy weeding, like, under the right circumstances. You know, if I get out there, I can just clear. I can clear an entire bed and be out there for 3 hours, but I'm okay with it. I just, like, go into my weeding mode. So it's funny. We have some pretty different opinions.
Well, that's good that you're complimenting each other. And I think a lot of my guests have talked about they like the, you know, meditative part of weeding, just as long as it doesn't, like, get out of hand. I think sometimes, yeah. But 3 hours is a while to spend out there. Sorry, Kurt, what were you going to say? I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay. Harvesting potatoes is quite a bit of work, but it's worth it. But it's a lot of labor if you have to do it by hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many potatoes did you guys grow this year?
Just one variety. What was it, Purple Viking, I think. Mm-hmm. And that one seemed to do well for us. And what did we have? 50, 70 pounds, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah. Some things we don't sell just because they're too much labor. We don't have any machinery for harvesting.
We don't either.
You know? Yeah, other than a rototiller, you know, for soil, but obviously. But other than that, we don't have any machinery. So everything's done by hand. And the potatoes, we don't really sell. We like to keep those through the winter. You know, other things like onions that are high labor, sort of high labor as far as planting, we sell some of those, but not a lot. So, yeah, we sell mostly, you know, things that are fresh off the vine and have a fruit is what we find to be. Yeah, it works well for us. You know, tomatoes and cucumbers, for instance.
Okay, cool. That's good to know, because I think people are probably feeling a lot of relief and like, oh, maybe I don't have to try to grow all those things. I don't know how to grow all those things yet. So I can just start with these littler, easier, maybe, you know, simpler tasks. Okay, so on the flip side, what's your favorite activity to do in the garden?
Well, you have one, Kurt, right off the bat.
Well, if it has to be, if it's related to still getting something accomplished, I enjoy raking, you know, like freshly tilled soil.
That's his form of meditation, yeah. Is raking it all perfectly flat.
Nice. It doesn't have to be, though, task-related or accomplished. Sure. Like, lots of people say they enjoy just going out with their cup of coffee or tea and taking pictures or just sitting there.
Yeah, I think my favorite is, I would call it puttering. So it'd be, you know, see what's growing, see what's flowering, see how things are doing, like taste things, poke things, maybe pull a weed or two, but just sort of putter around.
Me too. I've decided my favorite thing to do in the garden for sure is to paint. That's going to be my focus, just to paint the garden.
Oh.
Okay. How about, what's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I think because a lot of, for both of us, a lot of what we've learned is self-taught or observation, you know, our parents, grandparents gardening. I think the best kind of learned and observed advice that I have is, you know, you're never going to be like an amazing gardener after a certain amount of practice. It's like it's a constant thing. You're going to learn, every season is going to be different. You're going to have different pests and different challenges and the weather. And I talked to my parents about gardening. They still do it back in Washington, and they have, they have a warmer climate than us, but they have problems we don't have. And they've been gardening for 20 years. And they talked about last year, my mom was so baffled that gophers ate all their garlic. Like, they just sucked them down into the earth from underneath. So it's definitely something that you're going to learn all the time, and you're going to fail, and you're going to, try something different. And it's just never something you're going to achieve, I guess. But hopefully that's reassuring.
I like that. No, I think that's way reassuring to people, and that it's encouraging to get them out there. And then Mandy Girth, I don't know if you know her. Her and her husband Jay have Lower Valley Farm, right, kind of south of town, in Kalispell. And Mandy, when she was on, she talked about how in Montana it's almost easier to garden than where she was from in Indiana, because in Indiana the weather was so hot, they always have way more pests, and that we don't get as many of the pests. So even though we have a colder climate and you have to do your season extension, she said in the long run it was easier to garden here in a lot of ways than there.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
The hard winters, having hard winters definitely help get some pests under control.
And it gives us a break too.
Right? And we're having a better winter this year, I think. I'm hoping with all this cold, some things are going to get maybe not totally killed off, but at least cut down a little some of the bugs we've been having lately. How about a favorite tool that you like to use? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
Well, I think my favorite hand tool is the, garden rake. If I take one tool with me, I think it might have to be the rototiller.
The what?
The rototiller.
Oh, uh-huh.
Just because it does the most amount of work. That's the only power tool I have right now. So.
Yeah, I think, my favorite small tool that I use all the time is one of those little padded knee boards with a foam pad on it. And we call it Neil. So we'll be like, hey, have you seen Neil lately? he's very useful. But I think if we were moving and I could only take one thing, I'd pick our wheelbarrow, because you can always get the other small things.
That's what I said.
Wheelbarrow.
Yeah, because it'd be harder to replace. You can, a shovel, you could make a shovel if you were really stuck, at a cardboard or a scoop or something. But a wheelbarrow, I think, does a lot of the heavy work. Moves a lot of rocks, moves a lot of dirt, moves a lot of compost, moves a lot of weeds. Just, yep.
Yeah, this morning I was outside chopping wood and hauling it to the front porch. And I used the wheelbarrow all winter for that. So.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we haul it with a sled in the winter, I gotta say. But
that's a good idea.
We certainly use the wheelbarrow for hauling wood more than anything. How about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden? What do you guys like to eat out of your harvest?
For me, I think we each have an answer for this.
Cool.
For me, it's a new one this year, and we had grown some red cabbage that came out really nice, and I had got to that point where you had to use them up, and so I made this red cabbage soup with sausage and a bunch of fresh herbs and garden veggies, and it was spiced with cinnamon and cloves and nutmeg.
So
apples. We have apples in our yard. Soup full of a bunch of garden veggies and herbs and apples and sausage. It was a color of beets, so it was really pretty. It was just really pretty red color.
Nice. How about you, April?
So I guess this is a cop-out because this is a lot of different things, but I really like making pickles or fermented things. So sauerkraut, kimchi, pickled carrots, pickled zucchini, pickled beets, pickled beans.
That's great. Good for you.
Yeah, it's going to be, maybe sometime in February, we'll dig up the rest of our carrots that are under straw right now. And then usually I make a big batch of pickled carrots because we want to use a bunch up. And that's always like after the winter with no fresh veggies from the ground. It's awesome to have those.
Nice. How about a favorite internet resource?
For gardening, probably I like Seed Savers. And Johnny's has a lot of info on their website. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for my design practice, I like Missouri Botanical Garden. But that's a horticultural standpoint.
I have when we were thinking about starting to grow flowers last winter, I was doing a lot of research on, you know, what kinds of good cut flowers and how do you grow them, how do you space them, all these things. And I found, I think I found them on Instagram first, and then on the website it's Floret.
Uh-huh.
And it's there in Western Washington. And Erin, the owner, she's become really well known nationwide for growing cut flowers. And the really impressive thing about what they do is she shares so much of her knowledge and experience online on her blog. So I was, you know, able to see like what are the best cut flowers to grow. You know, how do you do succession planning, spacing, and pests, and starting things from seed, like. It's amazing the amount of information that you can find on their site.
Excellent. Well, fingers crossed, Erin's going to come do an interview with me this spring. So she has a new book coming out. So,
yeah. That's amazing. That'd be great if you got her for an interview.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Well, somebody emailed me back and I sent him my schedule. So hopefully, pretty quick here, she's going to sign up. So I'm pretty excited about that. How about a favorite book or a magazine or a different website or blog or something that you could recommend to readers, listeners?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Seed Savers has a really good garden planner.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's just very full of information, and it's very quick and easy to use. And even though, you know, I use drafting software for my design work, but the Seed Saver garden planner, it just has everything built into it as far as spacing and quantity. It tells you the quantities, has all the varieties. It's a very good tool, very quick and easy to use.
Nice.
Another resource, this is another online one, and I don't know if it's real new, but it's new to us. Just found out about it in the fall. It's called The Big Bug Hunt. Have you heard of that?
No.
So I found them. I think I may have found them through Seed Savers or something like that on an email newsletter. But it's what they're trying to do is they're trying to gather information from gardeners all over the country about what bugs and pests they're seeing. And kind of, you know, see patterns and help people predict what they might, what pests might be coming their way, or, you know, see how weather is affecting things, and then give people tips and information about preventing pests or, you know, taking care of them if you get them. So it's a kind of cool, like, crowdsourced information for gardeners.
Nice. I like that. So I do ask like one question about if you have a business, if you have any advice for listeners on like how to sell extra produce or get started in the industry. Like, do you guys have any advice for somebody who's just starting out? Which we're kind of, you know, in the very same, just starting out. We haven't really sold anything in any markets or anywhere yet.
For us, since we're such a small operation, we've decided, and it fits with our personalities, we've decided to kind of take the do fewer things well approach, and where we have space and time to to, you know, just like any grower, you know, you take time to experiment on the side, but we try not to do too many things that we can't do well. So,
and I think also we're both really concerned about quality. So, you know, if we're selling to a restaurant or selling flowers to a florist, we don't want to have a whole bunch of things that we're not really happy with. We want to have maybe a few really good things that we're really proud of the quality. We can, you know, have high standards.
Nice. I like that a lot. Okay, ready for my final question. It's kind of a doozy. If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
Yeah, that's a big question. I think I'll answer the first part of it, and then Kurt will take the really, really big part of it.
Okay.
So as far as, you know, a change to create a greener world, you know, I think we, because our focus is on fresh local produce, and it's amazing how much, you know, we knew some of this, but we've learned along the way how much our produce and flowers are shipped from, you know, so far away from other states, from South America. You know, we would just love to see more people growing what they can on their own property, you know, in your backyard, inside, you know, on a porch, wherever you can. And then also just knowing, like, trying to buy local when you can, knowing where your food comes from. There's such a huge difference in taste with freshness. Even if it's organic, maybe it's still shipped from thousands of miles away. So just seeing more local, which I think people are excited about and willing to try.
I agree.
So what do you think the most crucial issue facing our planet? I think, you know, and I'll just speak to, you know, in the use of our resources, a conservation approach, you know, a wise use approach. I don't want to jump right to the global warming things just wise use of our resources would be, I would love to see that. And as a landscape architect, you know, we're stewards of the environment. So, yes, for me, those two go hand in hand.
How about an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
I would say, you know, start small and try things. You know, don't be afraid to fail. Experiment. It's all trial and error. You know, and it's a learning process.
Yeah, you don't really need. You can even make plant tools. You can make a shovel out of cardboard if you need to. So, I can buy a rotary cutter or, you know, buy all the fanciest tools. You can start with, you know, just a shovel and seeds and a watering can and a hose. So, a huge endeavor.
Nice. All right. Well, do you just want to tell everyone how to connect with you?
Oh, yeah. So I guess, yeah, you found us on Facebook. So we're Flathead Farmworks. We're also on Instagram, Flathead Farmworks, flatheadfarmworks@gmail.com. We don't have a website yet. Maybe eventually, but basically anything Flathead Farmworks, you can find us that way. And yeah, we, you know, love to hear from people locally who are interested in growing or, you know, getting organic produce or anybody who's excited about these same kinds of things.
Excellent. If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.